Natasha, good morning.
Morning, Sean.
Thank you very much for joining us again, again here on the Daily Program. Now, looking at this situation right now, it's come to the point we've got 600 male refugees refusing to leave the detention facility. It's been closed for 3 days. There are no food supplies. There are no water supplies. We, in fact, see some refugees digging in the ground in the hopes they will find fresh water underground. How has the situation degenerated into this?
The issue at the moment is that, for one, the men have been there for 4 years. They don't want to be in the regional processing centre anymore, so that's the camp that they're in now. They don't want to be there, unequivocally don't want to be there, but they haven't been given a safe option to go to, and that's the big issue. So there are three sites available. One is in Warringah. It's called Warringah Transit Centre. That has around 300 beds, so nowhere near enough for everybody. There's another two sites. One we don't know much about. The other, Amnesty International, has been there, and so has UNHCR, and they have said that it's just a bunch of shipping containers dumped in some mud with nothing connected to it, and it's completely unfinished, so that's not suitable for people to relocate to. The other issue is all of these sites are in Warringah Town. Now, we've known for a long time that the locals in Warringah Town don't want these men to come and join them in their town. And the reason for that is, if you think about the population, I think it's around 10,000 or so, and then you've got 600 refugees. So that's about 10% or just under 10% of the population that would be added to in a way that just really isn't sustainable on a small island like that. So Australia's pretty much just dumped its responsibility on this tiny community. And understandably, the community doesn't want to take responsibility. Because it's not their responsibility and the men don't feel safe. There's been a number of attacks on people when they go into the town previously. One man that I know was attacked with a machete, nearly had his arm hacked off entirely. And there's been a number of robberies and assaults and different types of things. So the men just don't feel safe, that there's no fencing or security at the locations that they've been asked to move to, and they know that they're not welcome there. So they're just staying where they are because they've assessed that it's the safest place to be at the moment, even though there's no food and water.
Mentioning there, of course, the settlement there in Warringah, there was a story yesterday about a man who'd walked some 20 k's back to the detention centre after seeking the provided alternate accommodation in Warringah. So what does this actually say about, the Papua New Guinea's government's efforts to get the men out of the detention centre? As you say quite rightly there, it's not really PNG's responsibility, and certainly they've made no assurances at this point. But what does that say to you about the efforts to actually move these men into alternate accommodation?
I think what's clear is that this government, our Australian government, has absolutely no plan. So they've known for over a year now that the Supreme Court of Papua New Guinea found this camp to be illegal due to its poor human rights standards and the detention of people sort of for no reason for such a long period. They've known about this for a year. They've known for 4 years that this community didn't want these men to be located there. And they've just made absolutely no plan at all, really. And they've backed themselves into a corner whereby now we've got a humanitarian emergency happening on our doorstep. And they've just kind of abandoned it and walked away. And then they're just sort of in the public realm saying absurd things like they can move when they know full well that they can't, and they've just completely abrogated responsibility.
Now, as you mentioned there, the Australian federal government, they've copped, realistically, they have copped plenty of criticism over their failure to intervene, and the opposition, realistically, would say they are remaining entirely silent on this issue as well. So really, within the two main bodies of our government, there really has been no movement, no indication of any real solutions from either side. Obviously, the federal government, they've been fairly concerned with their own internal strife over the past couple of weeks. But looking at that situation, is the government just waiting for the people that are advocating for refugees, for the people that are upset about this situation, to basically exhaust themselves against a brick wall? Are they really giving nothing at the moment in the hopes the criticism will just fade away?
That might be their hope. But the issue is there's still 600 men, 600 lives at risk, and they're not going to fade away. As much as our government would like them to fade away, they're not going anywhere, because all that they're just looking for somewhere safe to be. And by not intervening and not doing anything, our government isn't resolving the situation. Interestingly, the only people who are sort of talking about ways to resolve the situation of the New Zealand government. We've seen some statements coming out of there in the last few days, reiterating their offer to take people, and the new Prime Minister in New Zealand saying that she's going to discuss this with Malcolm Turnbull. I find it quite interesting that our neighbours across the sea are the only ones that are concerned about this humanitarian crisis.
Your organisation, the Asylum Seeker Resource Centre, has been at really the forefront of the Bring Them Here campaign. As I say, these men aren't going to go away. This situation, this crisis, is not going to go away. So what would you suggest, as people who have been so involved with this campaign, what would you suggest people actually do to try and continue to pressure the government to do something, to do anything, to do something about this crisis, about these individuals on Manus Island?
Yeah, so I mean, and this is coming from us, but also from the men that I'm speaking to who are in the Manus Island camp. We just need to make our politicians listen. So until Australians get loud, until they get on the streets, until they start calling their MPs and not giving up and going down to their offices and sitting there and saying, well, I want to have a meeting with you. This is disgraceful. You need to resolve it. You know, we live in a democracy and it's a strong democracy and our government acts in the way that the Australian people mandate. And so until the Australian people get up and say this is completely un-Australian and we're not going to stand for it, I think both sides of politics probably won't act. So my suggestion would be that you need to call your MP, you need to call Malcolm Turnbull's office, you need to call Peter Dutton's office, you need to call every politician that you can possibly think of, and tell them how you feel about this and that it's completely unacceptable, and get all your friends to do that too.
Natasha, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.